All right, let's continue our teaching. Let's begin to conclude it, actually. We are still speaking about the issue of walking in the Spirit. That's what we have been talking about for some time. And I like the way we ended it last time, and I'll pick up from there. Now, let's just read the main text of the scriptures that we have been using. The first one is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We'll start from verse 13. It said, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He now said, "If you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit sets its own desires against the flesh." He said that, "For these are in opposition to one another. So what you experience is you find it hard to do that which you please." Verse 18 now says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are," and he listed a number of evil things, immorality, outbursts of anger, etc. You know, he now said in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." He now said, "Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified," that is, this is how they do it, the experience of crucifixion of the flesh in their lives, it comes about as they walk in the Spirit. So those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Now let me just stop there. Again, we read from Galatians chapter 6, where he said simply, let me summarize it. He said that, who sows to his own flesh, verse 8, will from that flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. He now said, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." Now, just to quickly get things together, quickly open to the book of Matthew chapter 22. Let's just read it so that we can, you know, we won't have to be flipping up and down once we are done with reading. Verse 34, "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees," some things happened before now, "they now came to him, they asked him a question." Verse 35, "One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. He said, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' That is, of all those commandments, which one of them stands out?" And the Lord said to him, 'You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind.' He said, 'This is the great and foremost commandment.' He said, 'The second is like it.'" That is, the second is the same commandment. The second is as great as that first one. The second is another way of expressing the first. He said, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And he said, "On these two commandments, on only these two commandments, depend the whole law and the prophets." That is, anytime you read any of the commandments in the scriptures that God gave them through Moses, anytime you read all the rebuke that the prophets gave to them as the inspiration that God gave to the prophet, he said everything is based on two commandments. One, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That is, if a prophet will come to speak to them as per correction, it will be because they have not been loving the Lord their God with all their hearts. It will be because they have not been loving the Lord their God with all their souls and with all their minds. Or it will be because they have not been loving their neighbors as themselves. You are getting what I'm going to explain there. That is, he said, upon these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. That is, without ever listening to all the law, anyone who understands these two commandments will have been fulfilling entirely all the law. And in fact, when Jesus came, he seemed to break this law sometimes. But that was because he was operating by the fullness of the law. And occasionally the law that they had will conflict, all right, with the some requirements of this law. For example, a woman was sick, seriously sick. She had been bent over for like 12 years. A woman had been bent over for a very long time. And the doctors have a very fantastic word for it. And then Jesus met her on a Sabbath day. And the commandment was, you shall not walk on a Sabbath day. You shall do no work at all, either you or your animals or the slaves in your household. And then once they saw the woman and they saw Jesus Christ, they knew he was about to walk. And he was angry with them. Why was he angry? You missed the point. Please, you must follow this. That you missed the point. When God said to you, do not walk on the Sabbath day, it was a way to love you. It was a way for him to pour his blessing into your life. It was not a way by which he was going to keep you in bondage. He said, listen, if your animal were to fall into a ditch and there was a risk that it would die in the next few hours, will you say, because the Sabbath day, you wouldn't bring it out? They couldn't answer. Why? Because love. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Love decided that this woman should be set free. He said, this woman is a daughter of Abraham. Even though it's a Sabbath day, is it actually against the law that we should set her free if we have the ability on the Sabbath day? But men who practice religion, in fact, they used to tell the people that if you want to get healed, they were not among the disciples. So that was the funny part. They were just the people that used to follow Jesus about to come and check what he would do wrong. They used to tell the other Jews, go home, come and get healed on another day. Today is Sabbath. It's very funny. Listen, they were not amongst the... You know, Jesus had his own protocol. I've explained to you before. Let nobody deceive you that Jesus was... He had an open door policy. Anybody could come in and see him anytime. It's a fat lie. What did I say? You see, don't seem to believe it too. What did I say? Or at least you heard me. I want to be sure you heard me. What did I say? No, it was a lie. And again, for those who don't know, let me prove it to you again. There was a time, he said, let the little ones come to me. Why? Because Peter, James, and John had made sure nobody was coming. And Jesus didn't say, come on, why are you blocking the door? I came to save the world. No. He said, anyone with a little one, let them come. As all these old men that are always looking for my trouble, let them stay outside. So people say, why do you have protocol? You need it, otherwise you will not make it in ministry. You need to have peace. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, the point is that those people were not part of his protocol. They were not part of his people walking. Yeah, they were driving people away because it was Sabbath day. The simple reason was that they missed the sense in the commandment. They missed it. They didn't understand what that commandment was saying, so they kept it to a kind of extent that they missed the spirit. They were keeping the letter of the law. And let me explain something to you. That's why what Christianity, that's what Jesus came to do, to deliver us from that keeping of the letter of the law and missing the spirit thereof. I've said this again and again. Every law has a spirit. And those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. And in Christianity, what we are doing is going for the spirit behind that law. Please follow what I'm going to explain. So when Paul said, that's what we were teaching last time, we began to teach. He said, if you are led by the spirit, I said to you that, if you see the word by, some Bibles will use the word in, some will use the word by. New American Standard, which I use standardly, uses the word by. And that word by and in is the same thing, just the way the translators will decide how to pick which one they will use, depending on the context, all right? So when it says, if you are led by the Spirit, what he was saying simply is that remember last time I explained the meaning of the word Spirit, is the driving force in your life. That's what I'm saying. That what is the driving force in the things that you are doing? For example, you know, I said this, let me say it again. People have the impression that when the Bible says that you are led by the Spirit, you know, it created a lot of confusion in Christianity. And I keep on saying it, a lot of Pentecostals, you know, if you are a core part of it, they don't want to listen to it. But that's because they don't want to admit the fact that they are just creating confusion. When the Bible says if you are led by the Spirit, it didn't mean if you pray until your spirit speaks up. Let me say it again. He did not mean that you will pray until God gives you a vision. He didn't, any of those things that we practice sometimes now, listen to me, I'm not saying they are wrong. Are you getting my point? God can speak to you in your heart. The word of the Lord can come to a prophet. It happens. Do you follow my point? I personally have been corrected by dreams many times. There are people that angels have appeared to give instructions, not just to deliver. Angels deliver you all the time. I hope you know that. You were crossing the road today. You didn't know. They delivered you. One of them turned to a policeman and stopped the vehicle. You did not know. You thought it was a regular policeman. Some of you have seen angels. In fact, you know what I think? Most children of God have seen one. Now, what I'm telling you is not a joke. I am persuaded that most children of God have seen an angel at least once. The only thing is that they will never know. Because the angels don't show up and introduce themselves. Say, see my ID card. I'm from quadrant 4 of the upper part of heaven. They don't do that. They just do their work. They are not into showmanship. Are you getting my point? My experience in life from hearing other people's testimonies and reading the scriptures is that many people have seen one. All right? So I'm trying to emphasize the fact that these things happen. All right? They do happen. There was a time you almost got missing. A man gave you accurate direction. You thought he was one man who lived nearby. No, those who lived nearby wanted to kidnap you. So God sent an angel to give you direction. You will never find out. All right? I just want you to know you are not alone. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. But this point I'm making. So those things happen, but that was not what the Bible was saying when it said, as many as are led by the Spirit. Angels can appear and give you directions, and sometimes you will know, they will tell you, that's what I am, I'm an angel of God. But that was not what the Bible was saying. I'm trying to emphasize that even though I know it happens, that was not what it was saying. When it said you are led by the Spirit, what it was saying is that there is a spirit behind the law. Are you getting my point? There is a spirit of Christ. There is a spirit of God. If you are led by that spirit, for example, you will see the word compassion. That Jesus will look at a woman, the widow of Nain, whose only son was dead. And compassion will move him. If you are led by compassion, are you getting my point? You must understand that leading there is by the compassion of the Lord. As many as are moved by the compassion of the Lord, these are the sons of God. I don't want to go over that again. I said it last time. I just want to emphasize to Christians because, you see, I went through that struggle too as a young believer. We thought that there was a trick. And people taught it. And I'm begging you, Christians, if you're a preacher, don't teach it. It's not good. They used to teach us, this is how you do it. You will kneel down. You will pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Pray like prayer until then you begin to have thoughts. That's divination. That's not Christianity. Don't worry, you won't hear from too many Pentecostal preachers. But what I've told you is the truth. You don't have to practice how to hear God. You know, in the last few weeks, all I do is digress after I started introducing my subject. And I don't care anymore. You understand? I have to just keep preaching. Once I hook onto something that will bless people, I stay there. That's my job. All right? You don't have to practice how to hear God. How do I know? Read the whole Bible. Nobody did. Some people have been blessed in the process. You know, God is very kind. Sometimes he doesn't really care how you misdo. You understand what I mean by that? That is, just do anyone you like. Once he finds something small to help you with, he helps you. Sometimes he doesn't listen. He doesn't observe to all the things you did. He just helps you because your heart is crying for help. Let me give an example. If I wake up in the morning and somebody prayed to me last night, and said that if you need help from God, what you need to do, you wake up in the morning, you worship him, you praise him. After praising him, you thank him. After thanking him, don't do that thanksgiving, stating down. No, you get up, stay on one foot, and hop while you are thanking him. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. After that, you now settle down and ask him for what you want. And next morning, true, you wake up. You are a young Christian. You are a good Christian. You are not a preacher. Because preachers, God, they did it then differently. Preachers, God will look and say, if I answer this boy, He's going to go and preach this thing tomorrow. I'm not going to answer him. So for a normal Christian, all right, and that's also scriptural. He said, judgment is stricter with those who are teachers, all right? So that's it, all right? Now, so you now wake up next morning. Let's begin to worship. You worship. You thank. You glorify. You do everything. Doing all of this, you're hopping on one foot. You're hopping on one foot. Then finally, you ask him for what you want. Let me ask you a question. Will you get it? He will answer you. The next question is that, did he answer you because you were hopping on one foot?
No.
Did he answer you because you were worshiping?
No.
Did he answer you because you were praising?
No.
That is, if you had woken up and said, Lord, I have an issue, and you just ask him simply, without hopping, without worshiping, without praising, without thanking to prime him, just simply ask him in faith, and you go away, you will see I've gotten the same answer. Do you get my point? I told Larry Lee, you know how he got born again? How God saved him from all his sins and all the trauma that confusion in his life had brought into his brain so that he was hospitalized in a Catholic mental institution? You know how God delivered him? In the institution, they had Bibles. He read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the revelation of Christ contained therein was so powerful to him, he got on his knees and said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit entered into him and changed him instantly. He knew a lot of celebrities, a lot of big rock stars. So he told them, oh boy, I just got something. They said, what is it? He said, can you get the Bible there? They said, yes. Get it. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you finish, get on your knees and shout, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you know everyone that did it, the Holy Spirit came into their homes and changed them? Every single one. But you and I know that it's not the formula. Now, it's important we understand this because that's what causes confusion sometimes. People have been blessed doing some things. They now turn into a doctrine. I am a teacher of the word of God. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm instructed, this is how it is, to understand the precepts of God and explain to the people of God. And they will now understand that the manifestations might vary from one life to the other. Listen to me. You don't have to practice how to hear God. That's what I was saying. I know people have stories to tell on how God spoke to them and he led them. I also have stories to tell. Don't think I don't have. I did not come to Enugu by chance. In fact, I was trained basically, that's first degree, as a medical doctor. Today I'm a pathologist. I still practice. How did I become a pathologist? So that you know that if it's spirituality, me too, I've experienced it. I haven't prayed for a long time. I know the day the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou shalt become a pathologist. And I don't mean it, I didn't say those words like that. But that word of the subject I had to go and study, it dropped in my head. I see somebody split my head, dropped inside and closed it. I remember the instant. But when it was time to marry, it did not happen. The time I would have loved it the most, it did not happen. When it was time to marry, which one happened? One Chiquito just came and said, first, I want to ask you a question. When she asked, finished, now I look and say, man, fine girl. That was all that happened. You now say, hey, is that not carnality? No. What I can't start describing for you now are the words, you know, the challenges, the obstacles that you have to I have to overcome with the word of God. That is what it means to be led by the Spirit. It is not that somebody whispered to you. I've been whispered to before also. But I will not come here harassing you about whispirations. There's a world of difference between inspiration and whispiration. I hope you are getting my point. As many as are led by the Spirit does not mean as many as prayed until their spirit spoke up or what they called the voice of the Holy Spirit. That was never referred to in that context, even though I know such things happen. Very important you get this point clear. Because I've heard all kinds of things. before you did that, what did God say to you? When I hear that, I say, how will you know it's God that said to me? Many people, no, I got a message today. Somebody sent something to us, my chat group, my brethren, recorded from Anderson Cooper's 360. Many of you know AC 360. Yeah, the CNN program. A man who says his God is Jesus. And that when he said, believe in him who the Lord has sent, that it's not the Jesus of Nazareth, it is the Jesus of today. And I am the Jesus of today. And he has over 100 churches following him. And he said that the Antichrist is a mistranslation that is supposed to be the new Christ. So he has all his members tattooed on their body, 666. Because he is the 666. And he's going around, very handsome guy. Man, his suit impressed me. He's a small boy, he's 61. And they worship in his church. And he preaches. In fact, the small clip showed there was, you see it, you name it, and you claim it. Sounded very Pentecostal, very word of faithic. You know what I mean? Very word of faith-ic. And it says that there's no word like Antichrist. There's a mistranslation. This is the interesting part. I looked at it, I said, this fellow is a joker, thorough joker. In fact, I believe he said as a joke. The thing has overtaken him. And he's making money from me, so why end the joke? After all, for some people, the Bible says, all of a man's struggle is for his belly. So this is my belly is occupied right here, so I change it. But beyond that, many of those people really heard voices. The Islam you are contending with today, their prophet Muhammad heard a voice. He heard a voice. The voice of the Lord came unto him saying, that is why he insists till tomorrow, and his followers insist till tomorrow that he's a prophet. And there was a man in the Bible by Jesus who used to shake everything because they thought it was a mighty power. Great works were done by that guy's hands. Don't be impressed. So you're talking about voices? Don't worry. They happen. I preached some weeks ago here talking about the defense against deception. That many false prophets actually get prophecies. It's not as if they know there are different kinds of prophets. There are false prophets that they just wake up and they do. Say, man, how much that guy go pay? Say, have you checked his bank account? What's the balance? They've checked it. And it's very common in so-called Pentecostal churches. You know, they prophesy according to what they have found out about you. And the Lord said, that problem you're having right now with your wife wants to give a seed and it's not less than a million. The guy knows you have 1.7 million in your account and they've told him you and your wife are always quarreling. And you will drop the million. He's richer, you're poorer, your problems remain. But the first 1 week, it will be better because you have faith that it will be good. There are plenty, there are prophets like that. Listen, they are all over the place. They are very common these days. There was one that was bragging about his iniquity amongst his friends. My friend overheard it. He's a true pastor. That fellow is a backsliding one, if he ever was a true one. He said, I gave him the first prophecy. He didn't release. I gave him another hotter one. He did not release. Finally, I turned to him and said, is it when God kills you that you will finally release his car? And the man came, dropped the car keys for the pastor. And he said, I blessed him and he left. And he was bragging about it. Listen, I'm not telling a story of 35 years ago. This happened, I think, last year or so, or the year before. In southern Nigeria here, not in Malawi. Not the United States. There are false prophets like that. There are false prophets that's the one that's most dangerous. That's what I'm talking about. There are some that they are the ones that the lying spirit departs from the presence of the Lord, enters into their mouths, and they actually are seeing visions and prophesying lies because God gave them a commandment. Go and deceive them. Those are the people that led Ahab to destruction. God said, let us kill him at Ramoth Gilead. How do we get him to go there? We'll simply tell the prophet to tell him that if he goes there, he will be victorious. When that fellow suggested it, God said, no problem, go ahead. I hope you're following my point. I want to emphasize the fact that don't run your life by visions. Don't run your life by dreams. Don't run your life by voices. They cause confusion. They will confuse your mind. But I also said, God can use those things. But it is forbidden for a Christian to practice the hearing of the voice of God. I say to you, it is forbidden. Many people have preached the opposite for long, so they will disagree with that statement. But listen, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to argue over it. I'll just let you know that it's forbidden. What a lot of Christians practice is what the Bible calls divination. They don't realize it. To set out to deliberately use different methods to so-called hear what you are calling the voice of God. Listen, those voices don't show ID card. You know, I was discussing here the other day, I don't know, was it Saturday or Tuesday? Was it Saturday or Tuesday? When I finally talked about when I got the understanding of what happened with the witch of Endor. Was it Saturday? So let me not repeat it. But I explained to you that witch saw a man who she thought, she was a medium, she described to Saul and thought it was Samuel. Saul was persuaded. So don't wait for voices. If you listen, even Kenneth Hagin will explain that if you listen too much for that, you will get confused. So Pastor Bank, what are you saying therefore? I am saying to be led by the Spirit. You know, that's our whole message. To walk by that leading of the Spirit does not mean I'm led by what I call either inward witness or the voice of the Holy Spirit or a still small voice or a loud authoritative voice. That's not what it means. What it means is that I am propelled by the force that comes out of the Word of God. It means that two commandments underlie everything that I do. Number one is the love for the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And number two is love for my neighbor. That's what it means. That is the summary of it. I can be led. I can get direction from divinely granted dreams. That happens. If you believe, you say amen, please.
Amen.
But that is not what that scripture means. Even though I agree, it has happened to me many times before. I was describing for my wife recently a dream I had some time ago. Very, very funny dream. I dreamt of two people fighting. I can't remember whether I was one of those fighting or I was observing two people fighting. And one took a bottle and was cutting the other seriously to pieces. And I was shouting, what is going on? Won't anybody stop this? Maybe I was observing. I can't even remember. But I still remember that somebody was being caught by another with a broken bottle. And I woke up in the morning. I realized, what kind of dream was that? And instantly, I just knew the meaning of it. The fact was that the man had offended me terribly that time. And had told everybody that bothered to listen how much evil he had done or he was doing. And the Lord didn't know how else to tell me to shut up. Until he showed me in a dream that you are cutting this man to pieces. You don't realize it. God corrects people. That's not in fact, I've had such dreams several times on different matters. I wake up and instantly know what he's talking about. Almost all the time, it's been correction for me personally. Almost all the time. I'm remembering the one by one now. Almost all the time, it's been correction for me personally. But that was not what that scripture was talking about. In fact, the only reason those dreams made sense to me was because I already knew the word concerning it. It only came for to drive it into let me get the point. The way I operate ministry till today, the guidance for it happened when I was serving. in 3rd Mechanized Infantry Battalion in SETI, Nigeria Army. That was in my youth service. And one day I woke up and I slept and I dreamt. I knew I was walking down a corridor and I was walking. And there were doors everywhere. It was a narrow lane. You know, those kind of things, we don't have them much in Nigeria, but you see them in films around in China, in like a street that just has doors left and right, you know, that kind of thing. I was walking down such a long street, and I kept walking, and I kept walking, and I kept walking. I would turn like this, the door is locked. I would turn like this, the door is locked. I would turn like this, the door is shut. I would turn like, After a while, I got tired. I said, God, what is going on? When am I going to get out of here? At that point, I turned, this time to my left, and I saw a door that was open. I won't say beyond that. And when I woke up, I knew what it meant instantly. I was a fellowship president when I was in school. You understand what I'm saying? I was preaching the word of God from the time I was on campus. From the time I graduated till Kingdom World Ministry started, took almost 10 years. Without that dream, I would have thought something was wrong with me. We finally started preaching here, all right, about 10 years ago. I left university in 1991. I had that dream in 1993. That is, the way things were, people talked to me. In fact, I remember the pastor I worked with as a house officer. Once I used to go to his church to go and, walk. I take a leave, I go and stay with him 2-3 weeks, all right? And I used to preach several times a week, help drive Bible studies, counsel people, help the young people do programs, go and do hospital visitation. I did that. So you can imagine, the way it was. By that time, Pentecostal church was starting like this. All right, churches were starting left and right. Everybody was certain that once this guy gets out, he's into it also. I thought so too. Except that as things began to evolve, I realized it wasn't going to happen. But one thing that kept on telling me that nothing's wrong with me was that as a youth copper, I had that dream one day. Listen, I'm going to emphasize something. Such things, I have experienced them several times. I've told you the story. I don't know how many of you have heard the story. Once I decided to enter one church, one very popular church. All right? Let me go and join and be a good member and walk the walk of God. The day I stepped in, I didn't know two angels were. They knew I was coming. They were waiting. This idiot is coming to come and spoil everything that God has prepared him for him to do. Leave him. We'll show him purpose today. One of them escorted them to go and meet Balaam that time. Remember Balaam? One of them came, but they held him behind. Don't kill this one. He's a nice guy. As soon as I entered, I attended that church for months. As soon as I sat down with the mind that now we're going to join the ministry, I'm going to start the work of the ministry. The Holy Spirit said, where? Boys, arrange him. As soon as I sat down, one ninja just carried nylon bag, cover my face. Breathe now. I tried to breathe. They said, lie. So I almost say it's demon. You know me and demons, we have good distance for ourselves. So I know when angels are handling me, I know when it's demons. The angel said, we know you're a son of God, so don't worry, but this is an assignment for your life's sake. Now they handle, bro. I sat down through that service. I was distressed. I was oppressed. I thought I was dying. I couldn't breathe. Except that when I, physically take a breath, it flows. I don't know whether I get my point. But the spiritual state was as if I was choking. I didn't listen to a word that was preached that day. All I was just waiting. In fact, if I was sitting at the back, I'd have run away. But it was a very big church. I was sitting near the front, somewhere around the middle, just a little bit beyond that, between the middle and the front. I couldn't get away. It was a bit one kind. So I endured. The moment they said, share the grace, I turned around and ran. As soon as I came out of the church, everything lifted. And I remember I looked at that building. And in my mind, I said, what is going on here? I never went near there again. That was 1995. The only time I went to any of their branches was when a friend of mine wedded in another branch, another city. And I came for the Thanksgiving on a Sunday. Otherwise, when we reach they are done, I said, I go stand. Are you not coming in? I want to live long. Not going anywhere. I'm going to emphasize to you that spiritual manifestations like that, I've had them plenty. But I still tell you boldly, that was not what that scripture was saying. When Paul said in Romans, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. When he said that if you walk by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In Galatians chapter 5, we read now, that's not what he was saying. When he was saying that, what he was simply saying is that what is propelling you, all right, must be two things. One, the love for God. Number two, the love for your neighbor. And that's why I kept on reading that Galatians chapter 6. You will see, he explained that don't get tired of doing good. That is, anything I want to do, it must be because I want to do good. It's called love. There are things I will say until your whole fiber, the fiber of your being, every bit of it has absorbed it. And that is that if you give because you want to get, you're not walking by love, you are sowing to your flesh. Now, I like to say that. I like to say it to emphasize to people that God is watching everything you are doing. And I said last time that when we talk about worshiping in spirit, that's what we mean. That every aspect of your life is a worship. The way you run your home is worship. The way you run your business is worship. The way you drive your car is worship. Let me just say this. No, Jesus said something. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? Love. That's what he said. That you love one another. That is one. Then don't forget, for God so loves the world. You know, many of the things we do in life today. Let me say this again. Just following that thing I said earlier about loving one another. You know, I said something last time that when the Bible says he that sows to his flesh will from that flesh reap what? Corruption. I emphasized that, you see, in spiritual things, it's not just where what you sow. In fact, what you sow seems to be less important than where you sow. Now, what people think, the mistake people make when you're talking about where is that they look at, I used to have this when I was in school. It was a big joke amongst us. He said, bro, sow into my life, oh, I'm very fertile. It was a joke. In fact, I still remember my friend. He wanted to mock one brother. He just said, hey, you, sow into that brother's life, oh, he's very fertile. What he was trying to say is that the guy likes to receive. He was just trying to mock the other fellow, all right? We used to say a lot of things like that, and we say things like, ministers still say it, anything you sow into this ministry, you know, because we are doing the work of the gospel and all of that, you will get good reward for it. Well, it looks like there's some truth to that, right? But as soon as you act upon that, you lose all the reward. What are you talking about? It's simple. If the motivation is that there is reward for you, you just lost it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. If the motivation is restricted to the fact that plenty of work is being done there, then you have your reward. That if, like, if they say that, look, sow into this place, there's a lot going on, it's a good place to sow you so you can reap plenty. You buy that, you lost everything. Let me explain it properly, please. If, like, now they say, oh, we are reaching 10,000 people every second, 1 million every week, you know, describe all of that. I say, for that reason, if you just sow into this place, anything you are looking for, God will quickly multiply and return it back to you. You say, oh boy, see fertile ground. Once you talk like that, you've lost it. But it seems very close. You understand? Let me tell you something. Truth and error, they usually are very similar. That's why the Bible talks about the owner of the land that they sowed sowed wheat, and at night an enemy did something, came and sowed tares. Now the issue was that the two of them looked alike. It is right, okay? Now, the error is when you say, I can get because this place is fertile. Do you understand my point? But the truth, the real spiritual substance in that, the correct one is that since these people are doing this amount of work, it's a good place to join to work. You are following that? You are following that principle? That is, it is not about what I'm going to get. Once what I'm going to get is there, it becomes sowing to the flesh. You see, so I was trying to say, people say that, look, it's where, you understand, that this place is fertile. No, where in that sense is not what the Bible, is not the correct analysis. Where is as contrasting flesh from spirit. He that sows to the flesh. What does it mean to sow to the flesh? Two people can be given to the same ministry. Two people can be given to the same orphanage. Two people can be given to the same people in need. And one is sowing to the spirit and the other is sowing to the flesh. The one that is sowing to the flesh has been taught that give all so you can get. What do you need? I need a new car. So you have to go to a good place and sow so you can receive a good car. So you say, all right, I'm not going to sow recklessly. I'm going to look for where the ground is good. So he looks for that place, and they are doing good work, so he gives so he can get a good car. He sowed to the flesh. That seed was to the flesh. Why? Because the flesh is going for self-preservation. The flesh is going for what I can get. Do you get my point? But what is sowing in the spirit? Sowing to the spirit. It is simple. Sowing to the spirit does not mean before I sow, I pray over the money. Sowing to the spirit is motivation. Why am I giving? I have been blessed so that I will be a blessing. Are you following that? That is sowing to the spirit. Oh, these people need this money. And God has blessed me to be able to do it. That is sowing to the spirit. You are getting my point? Opportunity has been given to me again to do good. That is sowing to the spirit. That is sowing to the spirit. I told you before, that is not a difficult thing. It's very simple and practical. Talking about being led by the spirit, walking by the spirit. For Christians, the world, you see it even in business. One day a man came to Nigeria to come and speak, a successful young black American entrepreneur or business executive came from the U.S. I listened to the man, he came to Nigeria to speak. I listened to him. Then he made a statement. I said, no, this is not right. Good enough, he was not a preacher, so it doesn't upset me much if somebody who's not a preacher talks nonsense. Because nobody will go and believe you anyway, you know what I'm saying? It's a worry when you're a preacher and we're supposed to believe you. And he said, never love the company. One of the principles of success, of climbing the corporate ladder, he said, never love the company because the company can't love you back. He said, never love the company because the company can't love you back. And he explained that in summary. What he meant was that if the company is in distress and it looks like they are going to go down, you better bail out before you go down with them. By the time I finished this to the man, I said, listen, your success outwardly can never make the word of God of no effect before my eyes. Listen to me. The doing of good sometimes is wearing. You know, like it makes you tired. It wears you out. It can wear you out. And the commandment of God is, don't get tired. Anywhere you are walking, you can't love. Please stop walking there. Did you hear what I said? Anywhere you're walking, and there is no love for the place there. Don't mind that. I know he's a successful young man, but he's lying to you. He's not God. He's not the word of God. Tells you don't love a company because the company can't love you back. I love a company because God said, wherever I'm walking, I should do it as unto the Lord. Who cares whether they can love me back? Here, like Jesus said, you have heard. Don't love the company because the company can't love you back. But I say unto you, love the company because in loving the company, you are loving thy Lord. Because anywhere you walk, the Bible says, do it as unto the Lord. You are getting the point I'm making? Listen. I'm talking about the difference between the world and Christianity and the church and children of God. They do things because of what they can get. Once a man, I told you the story a few weeks ago here also. It was a member of the board of my institution, all right? The federal institution where I work. And one day, I was talking with the hospital PRO. He said he had not seen this man in a while. So I was just asking, how is the man? He said, well, he hadn't seen him in a while. Then one day, he now saw him. That, sir, you have not been attending our board meetings. And the man said to him, well, the man had gotten involved in another political scene in the country, all right? Not too far away from where we are right now. And there was a big man there. So this man asked him, sir, we have not been seeing you in our board meetings. And he made a statement. He gave an Igbo proverb, which I can't repeat. Okay, I couldn't even cram it. You understand what I'm saying? But what he meant is that, why are you traveling to go and fish when there's fish in the river in front of your house? Is there something like that? That why, you know? So like, the fish where I am right now is big. I'm eating well. That's what he was trying to say. And I said, that is the mentality of most people today. It's a normal thing with unbelievers. It's good. But it's painful when it's a Christian talking like that. That is, I'm occupying an office. It is what I am going to get. That's the primary thing in my mind. That is what the Bible calls sowing to the flesh. Sowing to the flesh doesn't mean I stole. Do you get my point? You know, I told that one of the major problems in Christianity today is that Satan has given us substitute sins. What did I call it?
Substitute sins.
That is, he gives you something that's a sin, so just don't do this one and you're okay. Then you do the evil one, the bad one, but you feel very righteous. You know, the one that's going on right now. Once you remove your weave on, your Brazilian hair, your makeup, and your jewelry, you are going to heaven. Is that not the current one now? Hopefully, you should be able to get the tracts. It's ready. I titled it, Who is Going to Hell? So you now see adulterers, fornicators, liars, cheats, lazy, unbelieving cowards who remove their hair, their fake hair, wipe away the makeup, and they think they are going to heaven. What am I going to explain? People do the real sins, but they say, because I don't smoke, I'm a good Christian. That's what I mean by substitute sins. There is no Sunday that I'm not in church. I'm a church worker. I dress very decently. My blouse is up to the neck, and the skirt is under my shoes. I'm a good Christian. But if I want to make a choice of whether I should leave where I'm working now for the next place where I may be working, all I'm thinking about is the pay better? No, that is not against Christianity. As long as I don't smoke. I change my jobs recklessly, not asking myself how much. One brother asked me once, he said, this place where he's working is about to leave. And he said something that the major problem he has is that he hasn't trained anybody. He has had his own business. But the issue is, I said, he couldn't just walk away because he had to train somebody first. That is how Christians reason. In fact, the problem he was having was conflict of interest. So he talked to me, how do I handle it? I said, the simple way to handle many things is just to be open about it. Go and tell your boss. Sit down with him, discuss with him. He may get angry and fire you. I said, but that is a simple way to handle it. I'm running an issue here. Many people don't care. One day I was discussing with someone, those days in Lagos. Said the quickest way to move, that was the bankers used to move recklessly. Now, they're not the green move recklessly because while moving, you may not be able to land. You move anyhow now, you understand my point? And then when they practice LIFO, first out. Now you go. Understand that time. So guys, they careful now. Movement now. In fact, these people move for lower pay itself. If they think that those days when I was in Lagos, they said no, the quickest way to go up is just be moving. So here, you are a senior officer. Then that one, you become assistant manager. Stay there 1 year. You go to the place, next place, you're deputy manager. Stay there 1 year. Then next time, they offer you manager. Then one day, just do they say, too many banks. We need consultation. Everybody going to join. Then the banks say, let's say we're too plenty. So I cutting. Then movement stopped. Listen, the word of God is settled forever. Amen?
Amen.
It is. It's settled forever. Obeying it is the safest way to be safe. It's the surest way to be sure. No matter what it looks like now. Being led by the Spirit. I hope you're following my point. Please, I need to get that thing get it out there for people to understand. Being led by the Spirit doesn't mean I went to pray. God, should I move? Should I not move? David prayed. He said, should I pursue them? Will I pursue? Will I overtake? Will I not overtake? Listen, number one way God leads you is by teaching you a regular word. His regular word. Number one way he leads is by the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. Do you get my point? There are things that God doesn't even want to discuss. You just got a job last week. You signed a deal with them. They made you, like they did, an assistant manager. The other bank opens down the road the following week. And they say that, come over. We'll pay you more and make you deputy manager. And you say, God, should I take? Should I not take? Let me tell you simply, you're a thief. Is it possible for God to want me to take? Yes. In that case, I'd better come and stop you on the road and say, oh boy, you must take. Don't even approach him in prayer about it. There are things you should not even pray about. Why? It doesn't just make spiritual sense. You're undependable. You have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Such a person will never receive anything from the hand of the Lord. It's clear. You don't pray about such things. Come on, you signed a contract just yesterday. Then somebody has opened another bank down the road because you have a bigger position. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I was analyzing with my wife again yesterday about the meaning of the word vanity. Solomon said, we pursue all these things. He said, I pursued them. I found that they were what? Vanity upon vanity. He said it was like chasing after what? The wind. I began to write the revelation down on what it means to pursue the wind. If the wind blows on you, is it good or is it not good? It's good. It's abundantly good. Good breeze on your body is good. But if you pursue it, you are mad. Can you see the difference? That is, if wind is good blowing, we sit down there, remove our chair, and say, wow. So your wife and you say that, man, that wind was good. What do we do? Let's run after it. They will bring you in for prayers. You are getting what I'm making. So you see, what makes the difference between what is a blessing and what is vanity is whether you ran after it or it came on you. So Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. That's what they call common sense. That's common knowledge. And walking by them is called walking, being led by the Spirit. People are praying, God, shall I take it? That is a Balaamic request. You want to call Balaamic request? That is, you want to take it. The money is good. When Balak was like a head of state, a king, then Balaam began to pray. Balaam knew. No, read his scriptures. It was clear what was right. Balaam said, number one, he said, curse these people for me. I've heard about them. And the God that speaks to me said to me, they are my people. They cannot be cursed. So go away. Then they doubled the money. Then suddenly prayer point came up again. Listen, money can be tempting, true of us. But there's a way we pray it as Christians. We'll go and pray and say, Lord, this money is tempting. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's not, Lord. I've been thinking about it. Peradventure, the basic thing was that the man wanted to go. He wanted to go. Why? He lusted after money. He lusted after money. His name has become a curse till today. Because in Revelation, God talked about Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel. Nobody will name his son Balaam today. So by the time they finish, their name is anathema. Like I was saying the other day, you know, Judas was a good name until Judas came on the scene and took the name. Now, to bear the name Judas, now war. Somebody comes and say, good morning, sir. Would like to work with the ministry. I say, what's your name? Say, Judas. I say, Israel, come. Israel, please come. You see, right now, there are no vacancies. The Lord is not talking to us. You know, Christian, we like to hide behind the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Say, praise God. We shall pray until the Lord begins to speak about the matter. Right now, the Lord is not speaking yet. The simple thing is that, oh boy, but like Judas, there's one ministry next door. If like I say they are looking for who will betray them and crucify them. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What point I'm making? It is not about praying, Lord, shall I go, shall I not go? Balaam knew these people were blessed. Balaam knew that the curse would not work against them. Balaam knew that he could not even pronounce a curse upon people that are blessed already. There is no leading of the Spirit that could have made him go. The real leading. But because he sought to go, we've read the Bible enough to know that God can allow you to be deceived. For a long time, I wondered, why would God say to Balaam, go? And then an angel will try and kill Balaam. Think about it. You know, the way they walk in heaven, sometimes you wonder whether they are a kingdom divided against themselves. No, really. No, think about it. God said, don't go. Then Balaam came. The God on duty yesterday was on break. So another God was there waiting for Balaam. Is that not how it sounds? Then one angel from heaven got there and said, I'm going to kill you today. Then another one opened the eyes of the donkey. Because the donkey know they see normally, angels. Then somebody must have opened the eyes of the donkey and said, look, look, look. And the donkey saw and began to move away. And the angel said, I will have killed you were it not that your donkey moved away. One God said, go. Another God said, don't go. One angel said, I will kill you. Another one said, please don't kill him. Don't they look divided? That is what we always make heaven look when we are covetous. That is it. We cause confusion. The Bible says one thing. The leading your spirit says another. It wasn't God that was the confusion. It was Balaam. Balaam, God was clear. There is no going. Very clear. Then when Balaam came back, and God said, you want to be deceived? Let him be deceived. He wants to hear go, so he heard go. God never wanted him to go. And that was why the angel was planted to destroy him. Then for one reason or the other, God had mercy. Balaam was trying to be led by the Spirit. I'm assuming it's a Pentecostal. He wants to pray about what the Spirit is already clearly leading him about. To walk by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit. Number one way, child of God, hear it, is a simple knowledge of what is right and what is wrong according to the Word of God. Not according to your village traditions. Not according to what your friends think. You must understand that. I'm not talking about what your friends think is right. It's just what the Word of God says is right. How am I led by the Spirit? I walk by that. That's what it means. It does not mean at all, I prayed until my spirit began to speak. You heard me say it. Your spirit can speak. I know. My own spirit has spoken before. I am just saying that's not what that scripture talks about. I said something earlier, let me quickly balance it, because sometimes people wonder, what are you talking about? I said a Christian should not practice how to hear God. And I say it again, please don't bother practicing it. It's going to generate confusion in your life. What should I practice? How to obey the written word of God. That one on your laps there, that one on your phone, that one on your tab, that one on your computer. The Holy Bible, Genesis down to Revelation. The understanding that God has given you by it, all right? How to walk by that is what you need to practice and pray about. What about when God wants to speak? He will shout until you hear.
People say you have to be sensitive. The Holy Spirit must not be ruffled. Any little movement, you'll be grieved. According to Corey Blake. According to Corey Blake. Corey Blake said, what? I don't believe you people are saying that. Any little thing. So if, when he wants to speak to you, he must be absolutely silent. Your heart will stop beating. So the Holy Spirit can speak. No, you know, I watched the program actually that America, that, well, not American. It was an American program though. But are marksmen, you know, snipers and marksmen, sharpshooters, that they only shoot in between heartbeats. When they want to shoot, they fix on the target, the heartbeat, they know. Then that short period before the next beat comes, that's when they fire, so that the heartbeat doesn't shake their hand. So you see, that's how we hear the Holy Spirit. That's sometimes that's the impression we are given. You'll be perfectly still. Early in the morning, hold still, nobody talks. The clock must not tick. Why? The God that cannot shout is about to talk. The voice of the Lord is like many waters. I hope you've read that one before. When he has to shout, he will shout. He shouted until Samuel got the point. I hope you're getting the point. He came, Samuel. Samuel said, who's that? That sounds like Eli. That voice is a bit different, but the only person in this house right now is Eli. He ran there. You called me. I said no. He went back to sleep. Samuel, he came back. You called me. He said no. Samuel said, no. You called me. What's all of this play? Okay, I don't grow. All this, you know. He said, okay, next time it happens, just say like this. That is, God shouted until Samuel heard. People have said to me before that when the Holy Spirit wants to speak, you have to know because your life may depend on it. That is one thing I don't believe. I know it sounds funny that I don't believe it, but I don't believe it. If there's a bomb under that seat, one Boko Haram guy snuck inside here, kept the bomb there, and I know, and you don't know. You speak only Igbo, I speak only Yoruba. You speak Swahili, I speak only Latin. But I love you. When I say to you, extofete, and you say, huh? And I know we have 15 seconds to go. I shout again, extokites, extoxes, akre. Then you say, what are you saying? I say, you know, I check my clock. 10 seconds to go. Don't think I will abandon the language. I will physically rush you. I will drag you. Then when you hear Bosa there, say, oh, was that what you were saying? What difference does it make that we speak the same language or we don't speak it? People think, oh, you think God always say, we must have a conversation. God is not Alexander the Great, who sent everybody to go and learn his language before he talked to them. And that's what Alexander the Great used to do. Before you talk to him, you learn Koine Greek. He didn't have time to learn your language. He didn't have time for interpreters. So you go and learn his language if you want to talk to him. That's not God. God knows, in fact, and he knows the language you speak. I don't know how many of you have seen Kung Fu Panda. You should have some face you should watch. When they tried to teach Pooh, what is his name again? Anyway, the panda. They try. Finally, they found out that, okay, the way to try is to toss food up. That wants to toss food up, the guy will only get an anointing. Oh, catch the food. So when the man wants to chase something, even he now knew, he would do like this, convert it into food in his mind. And that unction will just come upon him. If Master Chief knows that, how much more God in heaven? What God does not tolerate is disobedience of heart. If the recorded word, they offer it to you, you don't take it. No matter how fine-tuned your ear is, you will hear deception. The prophets that prophesied for Ahab, they heard deception. Even though they knew how to hear from the Spirit, and they thought it was the Spirit of God. Is that not clear? Why are we pretending like I have to practice how to hear God? No! You need to practice how to obey the recorded word. And if you have not been here in the last few Tuesdays, please go and get the series. prayer and personal purification. That was what we talked about. How you pray yourself into obedience. How you pray yourself away from temptation. How you pray until you obey the word of God. That's what you need to practice. Not how to hear any whisperations. When God wants to talk to you in a supernatural way, he knows how to. He uses all kinds of methods. It's a heart that is obedient that matters. The heart that wants to obey. Many people, actually what I wanted to preach about today, all right? Good enough. I can start it now. Then we'll finish it next time. Is the lover of God. That is what it means to be a lover of God. I think I wrote a sermon about it long ago. And so you can get to our website. You get the message titled Lover of God. That's what I wanted to talk about. I'll start it now. Then we'll finish it next time. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That is what you need to practice. Loving God with all your heart. Remember what Jesus said? Let's just read this one. I begin to close with it. John chapter 14. Let me just start from verse 23. The Lord Jesus was answering the second Judas in the ministry, not the Iscariot one. If you read verse 22. After I asked the question, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we, that is the Father and I, will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Let me just stop there, please. Let's read again, just for emphasis. The Lord said, this is how you know somebody who loves me. He doesn't run to church. He does not pray plenty. That is, these are not the things that characterize the fellow who loves me. What characterizes that person is that he keeps my word. He obeys my commandment. He said, when he does that, the Father will love him. And I and the Father will come to him and make our abode with him. But if anyone doesn't love me, how you know is that he does not keep my word. It is not how the fellow gives to me. Let me just say this. It's not how the fellow pays me attention. It is that the fellow keeps my word. I wanted to talk about today is the issue of loving God. Because what is lacking today, one of the major things is people don't love God. They use God. They come to church and God is a blessing God. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, it is like, it shall be well. You will get that husband. You will get that wife. You will have that child. You will have that money. You will have that healing. And that's what people come to hear. But the heart that loves God, all right, is not there. How you know the heart that loves God is that obedience. Now, two things, please. It's not just obeying the word. It is that the fellow loves the word and waits for it. I don't know whether you get my point. That this is not just, you know, last time I talked about minimal obedience. It's not just about, I've heard the word and I've obeyed it. It's more of, I've heard the word, that word is good for me. Do you get my point? So I obey it. And when I've not heard a word, it's that I know that something is missing yet in my life, and I watch out and seek for that word until I get it. That's a person who loves God. That is what we need to practice, not how to hear a voice. Please, are you getting my point? That is what we need to practice. Such a person. God, now that's what I was saying before. I just remember that then I said, let me just initiate this. We'll finish it next time. Such a person, God knows how to talk to him or her when he has to say things that are not written in the Bible. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. Yes, I think it is a misplaced priority in the teachings, or in some of the teachings in Christianity, to start emphasizing to people how to practice to hear God. What we should do is to make sure we love God and we have a heart that obeys. Once we are like that, don't worry. God knows where they sell megaphone. Do you understand my point? If he knows you will not hear, he knows how to speak through signs. He does. He understands those things. I've heard people say, when they're talking, teaching Christianity, that modern Christianity, that God does not lead by signs and by wonders. One man, I respect his teachings, but that one I disagreed. He said, some people say, God, give me a sign. If I'm supposed to go out, let that man's door be open. He said, hey, listen, that man can open or close his door the way he likes. So you can't use it as a sign. I said, no, I don't agree. If God wants to use that door as a sign, he will tell that man, if you open that door today, or the man will go there, he will open the door, and God will close it. Or he will get there, he wants to open the door does not open. After all, the Bible says that any door that God closes, no man can open. He says, it's the man's house. No, the earth is the Lord's. What do you want to tell me that God cannot close somebody's door to give me a sign? He can. He can. The issue is not whether God can give sign through doors that are open or closed. He can. They said, no, it is not right to give God a fleece. Say, God, if you want me to do this, let this one happen. Listen, there is nothing wrong with giving God a fleece. He said, you say God can answer fleece. You know what they call fleecing God? Fleeces. Like, okay? Not like what Gideon did. Gideon said, God, if you want me to, if you are the one speaking, I'll put this fleece here. Let rain fall on it. It came next day. Everywhere was dry. That one was wet. So he squeezed it. He said, all right, Lord, if you are the one, let it fall elsewhere. Let that one be dry. Because no problem. Water gathered everywhere. That one was dry. You don't blame God. You don't blame Gideon. Gideon had been terrified. I don't know whether you get the point. He had been oppressed for a long time. He was trying to obey. He just wanted to make assurance doubly sure. Like we say. So God granted it to him. People now say, you see, in the New Testament, God doesn't do that. It's not true. God does it in the New Testament. If you go to the Old Testament, how many times did he do it? It's not only Gideon. He said, now God leads by your spirit. Bros, the spirit that God leads by is the Bible. What did I say? No, no, that's not what I said. I said, the spirit that God leads by is the scriptures. Let's put it like that. Say it.
The spirit that God leads by is the
Bible. That's it. That is it. Are you saying God can use outward signs? Yes, if necessary. Why does not do it often? Because it's not necessary. Most of the time, too much disobedience in the heart. So God doesn't bother talking. Do you get the point? That's the major problem. Somebody wants to pray. God, there are these two sisters that I like. Which one should I marry? But God said, have you noticed, Joker, three of them are from your local government. You didn't catch that. You have used iniquity to exclude every other person. Because if they are not from your local government, they cannot be the will of God. You now bring three pictures and say, God, which of these three should I marry? God said, you ain't talking to me. If you want to talk to me, go and bring the picture of that sister from Zamfara. Put it there. That sister from Botswana, put her picture there. Gather all the pictures. Don't use tribal elimination for me first. You now come and say, which one of these three that are from all the compounds around my father's zone? That's my way. Because I ain't talking to you. Somebody now come and say, God does not lead by signs. He doesn't listen. It's just that you don't qualify for it. You are not led by the Spirit. You have not discerned the Spirit of Christ. If you had discerned the Spirit of Christ, you would not have brought the pictures of three women from the three compounds around your father's zone, asking God to choose from your nepotic and your ignorant selection. You don't do that. You see? You are catching what I'm saying? And I say, God does not lead by sign. He can lead by sign. If you deserve the sign, most people don't deserve it. They don't. They don't have a heart of obedience. Say, God, which one of these three brothers it looks more like? Have you seen all of them are very rich? They are professionals. They are all earning very well. And I said, God, which one is my own? No, some people are very spiritual. Their own is, I must marry a pastor. Say, lie, I'm marrying a businessman. This is what you're talking. So you go and give God three pictures of very handsome pastors. Because that one is Judas. You don't know now. How will you know? And God is not going to tell you. If you harass him long enough, that lying spirit will just come on that Judas. His picture will just be shining. That's it. Don't marry Judas with that. Please, I hope you are getting my point. The reason why God does not lead by signs, by fleeces, by outward things, is not because it's New Testament or it's old. The advantage of the New Testament is that we have the Spirit of Christ that helps us to discern what the Bible calls the will of God. We look at that will of God as if, should I go? No. The will of God, first of all, is the scriptures. We understand the spirit behind the law. That's the advantage of the New Testament. We have that Spirit of Christ. So we do what is right naturally. We not only do it, we enjoy it. Listen, it was the New Testament when they replaced Judas. Did they know you cast lot? They did. But they first used the selection according to what they learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just what Jesus, listen, I'm sure of this. He had taught them that everyone who carried this thing with you must have been with us from the beginning. So when they had to replace Judas, they just chose those who were with them from. But they were two. So they said, let's cast lots. People said the Holy Spirit had not yet come. Anyway, let's not go there. The Lord is good. When God had to lead Saul, he appeared to him in visions and dreams. But Saul had a commission to go everywhere preaching the gospel. That was what was meant by being led by the Spirit. He was going everywhere according to that commission upon his life. So that when God said, don't go to that place, the Lord had to restrain him. Please, I hope you got my point.
Yes,
I began to speak about it. We'll finish it next time. What it means to be a lover of God. Most people today, they just want to use God. They don't love him. Bless me. Or by December, I go back into iniquity. Have you heard that before? Yes, I've seen it before. I've seen all kinds. I'll say, God, I'm giving you till next week. If you don't come forward with breakthrough, I'm going to join a gang. You're laughing. I said that people do it. I knew a girl. Well, I didn't know her personally, but a friend of mine who knew her direct. So it's not somebody who told somebody that this. In fact, the fellow who told me was my best man when I got married. Many of you have met him before. All right? He knew the girl. That one prayed one deep prayer one day and said she wants to marry a half-caste. You know, the kind of prayers that God will be looking at you say, I will soon beat somebody and they will understand what it means to be God. If you were God, will you answer? No, let's be honest. Will you answer that kind of prayer? So God didn't answer her. She asked, after that, she started sleeping with every guy. I'm not kidding about that. And I said, please go and tell her. And God said, I'm in heaven. How does your iniquity affect me? You will die. The soul that sinned it shall die. Not the God of the soul that sinned it. Have you noticed that? Not the God of the soul that sinned shall be in distress. The soul that sinned shall die. No, I'm telling you a real story. Remember the celebrated joke of Tycho Larry? You don't believe God said because he asked God for something. God didn't give him, so God does not exist. I said, you are an invisible father because there are many things you have asked your children for. Your children asked you for. You told you did not give. I know another one. A woman said that by December, I'm giving God to December. It doesn't bring a husband, I shall get pregnant. And you know God doesn't take such challenges. And by December, God said, all right, now that I have refused to bring the husband, I'm waiting for the IG of police to come and arrest me. And the IG of police did not come. By the following year, she was pregnant out of wedlock. And God said, the soul that sinned it shall die. Not the God of the soul that sinned it. Many people come to church, they just want to use God. God, you bless me, otherwise I will sin. And I know when I sin, it will pain you. And God said, when I kill you, it will pain you. And he will last last. Last best. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Listen, we need to love God. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. He said, all the law and the prophet hang on two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And he said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I hope you've gotten my point today. If you're blessed, shout in an amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads. Let's just give the Lord thanks.